I want to take a detour from Luke for a minute. Let's go to Jeremiah.
You might think it's cold in here.
No.
Didn't you cut off the second one?
Jeremiah chapter 5. In verse 18. Nevertheless, in those days, saith the Lord, I will not make a full end with you. And it shall come to pass when you shall say, Wherefore doeth the Lord our God all these things unto us? Then shalt thou answer them, Like as you have forsaken me and served strange gods in your land, so shall you serve strangers in a land that is not yours. Declare this in the house of Jacob, and publish it in Judah, saying, Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear you not me, saith the Lord? Will you not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass it? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it. But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, Let us now fear the Lord our God, that giveth rain, both the former and the latter, in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Now, the former and the latter rain is what we're going to talk about. Now let's go to Joel 2. The first part of Joel 2 is another call to repentance. The first verse is, Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and strong, there hath not been ever liked, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth, etc., etc. And it goes on. It's all about repentance. And then it goes down to verse 18. Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, Behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. But I will revive far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, his hinder part toward the utmost sea. And his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things, or evil things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit, the tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain, in the first month. Now, the word rain, the first rain, for the former rain, it literally means the teacher or the revelation of righteousness. And the latter rain is a word in Hebrew that means with the clarity of a perfectly cast bell. Now I pray that is what's been happening. That you see that this revelation of righteousness is only Christ in you. And that the latter rain is beginning to fall so that you can see and hear, well, you can hear, as if it were a perfectly cast bell. And you hear that tone, that sound, and the slightest sound that isn't of that perfectly cast bell, you will reject. So there's, this is what it means, my people hear my voice. And so this, you hear it with a perfectly cast bell. And I promise you, you cannot hear that. You cannot know it. And the former rain cannot come without suffering. That's the mystery of godliness. That's what you're appointed to. So that you can hear, so that you can be, you have the revelation of righteousness. And then you hear with a perfect, as a, the sound of a perfectly cast bell. That former rain, been falling for a long time. But now I pray that you hear with that precision and clarity. And you hear nothing else. You hear none of the other voices in your head. You hear none of the other emotions. They don't mean anything. You hear none of the other pain or whatever is going on. But you hear only that perfectly cast bells, if you will, that voice that causes full and complete repentance. So that there is a total and absolute disowning of anything about you. So that you recognize that you died on the cross 2,000 years ago, and there has been this being masquerading as you, and you call it your you-ness. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? What?
You seem to be inferring that everybody should be the same.
Look at your body. Is everybody, is every cell the same in your body? I hear, but you should hear with a perfectly cast bell. You should see the teacher of righteousness. That's what the early and latter rain mean. And the only way that happens is total and complete repentance. Just as if the sound of the air conditioner just went off. Now you can hear a little clearer. Everything that's happened in your life, there's the noise of the world is everywhere. The noise of your mind is constant. And now, because you can hear with that perfectly cast bell, then all of a sudden you discount every other sound. Amen? What, Gary?
I'm hearing this in as what a sound actually is. It's this, and when you see it on a monitor, it's zzz, you know, it's a vibration. And in that vibration, if there's one tick that's out of order, you catch it. And I think that's how we come to hear if there's anything that is opposed to that constancy. Pick it up and reject it. There's always something trying to disturb it, but you know, we the clarity from the former rain, then the latter rain, the confusion is gone. Other things can't enter in.
Amen. Now,
I didn't understand Joan's question. What was that?
Well, he the question was that, well, I'll let him explain it.
What was your question?
In all this description of what, well, I don't even know what you're describing, but I heard something that wasn't about a uniqueness. It was about everybody being the same thing. Everybody looking, acting, doing the same thing. Especially regarding his question of you-ness, so leaving behind your you-ness. If you leave behind your you-ness, what's left? And what's left, from what I heard, was just this constant of everybody being the same.
Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12.
Good question, actually. 1 Corinthians 12.
My stupid pages would not sticking together. Verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now, that's talking about your physical, the physicality of your own body. You understand that? For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, if I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God has set members, the members, every one of them in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where would the body? But now they are many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. There should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. The only issue is that mystery of the many being one is only revealed in abandonment. It's only revealed at the cross. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, frankly, this is a description of community, community in Christ. I hear that clearly, but I can't help but think that it's supposed to, not opposed to, but it's not what you said, not what I heard you say. So this up there.
It's the clarity of hearing. If every cell of my body did not empty itself for the benefit of everything around it, then the body would be ill. It would have, in fact, it's what cancer is. When a cell of the body takes instead of gives.
What threw me was when you said something about giving up your eunice. And it seems to me, I don't know what eunice means exactly, but we all bring different things to the table.
Well, it's ego.
Together, it's the community.
It's ego. That's what I meant.
Oh, okay. Well, that's long. Okay. It's way different than my conception of what eunice is.
Okay.
Just in light of that, it's almost like from the former reign to the latter reign, once that consistency of hearing is established and the revelation is clear, then your eunice changes from self-centered to other-centered.
Amen.
That's the transformation that takes place where the body can then be served. Otherwise, it's you serving yourself, which is a cancerous condition.
And this, can you see then the evil of someone that teaches that self-realization in the name of God?
Yeah.
That's what the prosperity gospel is. And that's why it's so incredibly evil. That's why there's more apostasy now than there ever has been. But that's what the scriptures, the promise of the scriptures is. If you listen to these guys we investigate, well, we're in the latter day, what do they call it? The
revival.
There's no revival in the latter day. There's only apostasy. So that the man of sin, the son of perdition, can be revealed. and all the mystery of God and the mystery of life. That's why the clearest form of communication in words is contrast. That's what people learn when they become speakers. That's how you learn to talk in sound bites, because you have contrast. And there's all kinds of technical terms for this and debating. But that's why the members, the body, the community itself, it doesn't do sign and wonders necessarily. It is a sign and a wonder because it's so completely different from anything in the world. And again, it has to have a sense of timelessness about it. My prayer is that if we were placed in any time, in any place in the history of the universe, we would be the same. Because nothing that we teach is time dependent. That's why let your speech be seasoned with salt. Let it have the component of eternity. Let your thoughts bring every thought into captivity to this mystery of obedience. It's the purpose. That's why it says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In the words in the Greek, it means that's the highest thing that you can do. There is no greater accomplishment. There's no achievement that can possibly compare to this, just the simplicity of presenting yourself the living sacrifice. That puts you at the top of your genetic pyramid. That gives purpose to everything in your past and all your genetic past, because you have come to the top of the pyramid. There's nothing else, nothing higher. That's why it's so critical that you that repentance, that you be crucified unto the world, and the world is crucified unto you.
And that's just your reasonable service. The highest you can do is your reasonable.
That's what service. That's what reasonable is. It's it's the highest that reason can take you.
Yeah.
And in the Old Testament, it says, let's go to Isaiah 1. Verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Now that's where people stop. You hear that scripture quoted all the time. And I just saw it quoted with regard to the attempts to have the unity among the different religious faiths. Come now, let us reason together. But they stop there. That's not what the scripture said. Come now, let us reason together. And the highest that reason can take you is though your sin is as scarlet. The highest that science is in every no matter what it is, whether it's high energy physics or cosmology or chemistry, they're pushing the envelope. And the highest it can take, they arrive at chaos. That's a metaphor for sin. The highest that you can take yourself with regard to analysis of self is total and complete sin. You don't do sin, you are sin. That's the, let us reason together, though your sin be as scarlet. He makes it white as snow because of the revelation of Christ. Christ in you, the only hope of glory. But you try to use the reason to understand Scripture, and it's not possible. Because you will always have this great wall between you and revelation, because you're still in the process of saying, what does this mean to me? It doesn't mean a damn thing to you. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen? Now this is what let's go back to Luke just to make, we'll show that all this had to do with what we were studying. Still in Luke chapter 3, verse 4. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And everything I've said, the abject repentance, the baptism of repentance, is conform. That's what we've been talking about. It's simplicity beyond simplicity. But you've got to get rid of this idea that there's anything good about you.
Yeah, if there's something really good about you, the injunction to deny yourself would be kind of iffy. You know?
Well, it's not. It's impossible. That's why repentance, if you don't know you're the chief of sinners, repentance is impossible, because all you can do is repentance of the world. Oh, I'm sorry I got caught. That's what you're really saying. That's not repentance. It's repentance of the world, which leadeth to sorrow. But the repentance of God is repentance not to be repented of. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody else? Is there anything anybody can do to help with arrangements, Gary? With
no, I don't think
your father-in-law's
so.
Death?
I think all that's going to happen now is there's a... Maybe they're get-together at the funeral home.
Let us know.
9:30 if anybody's interested.
Today?
Yeah, because they're going to make a decision today what to do with him. And,
okay.
You know, it's already been decided to be cremated. But the way the guy, I asked the guy the procedures, and he said they'll put him in a holding facility, which I guess is like a funeral home type place. And then if Meemaw changes her mind, then they can do something different. But they wait to the very last, and then you say, yes, this is my wishes. They're really cool about it. There's no pressure. They are very
okay,
sensitive.
Well, just let us know if it's going to be this morning.
I think it's 9:30.
Okay. Take it, big guy.